Welcome, week 18 or episode 18 of the Rugby Rundown. I'm not Will Hawley, I'm Sam Windsor. Corbs isn't here, so I'm going to jump in the hot seat and
wait a minute. Oh, hold now. On a minute. What is going on here? I haven't got Corbs, I've got this other guy. Well, it's none other than the greatest point scorer in MLR history. Sam Windsor's joining us for the show. Hey, look, roll the tape. Let's get going. Yes, hello and welcome to episode 18 of the Rugby Rundown. Myself, Will Hooley, and I am in my office. And I am not joined by Alex Corbusiero because he's getting a well-earned rest. He's on the bye week with San Diego Legion. So I have been joined by a good pal of mine and an absolute MLR stalwart legend. And he's put a legacy down already as the highest point scorer in Major League Rugby. Sam Windsor, how are you doing, buddy?
Will, good to see you, mate. Thanks for having me. And I'm doing great. Didn't think I'd be in this position a few months ago, just with things that went on with the league on the East Coast and Rugby New York. But, mate, I'm so grateful to be playing still and enjoying my footy and doing it in a lovely place. Seattle's unreal.
Oh, man, it's so good. Now, what I love is we're not paying you a dime because we don't have the budget. And you just kindly come on to help me out on this show. Let's just talk about briefly how that game, Seattle, man. Oh, my word. I was commentating on that. Amazing win, comeback in the end. How's the body though? I mean, for you, you're not any younger, mate. How are you feeling?
No, none of us are getting any younger, but there's plenty of banter being thrown around all week about, you know, filling the jersey of big Dan Creel, who's obviously a bit of a force in the centres and you know, slightly bigger than myself.
How did you find it, 12? Actually, that's the point. I almost forgot you crashed the ball up on the weekend.
I had a couple of carries from 12, and then unfortunately, Dunk Matthews went down at fullback, so I got shifted to the back, which, you know, it was good. I mean, I've played a bit of 12 in the league and beforehand and stuff, so nothing, you know, too new to me. But really, really fun and easy to play, you know, outside someone like Mac and with JP at 9, and their control of the game is, amazing. Is world class. So, mate, really enjoyed it. Lots of fun.
Tell me, surely there was a little bit of steam let off in Chicago after the game?
You know, I mean, the good thing about this league is if you've been in it as long as me, you know most boys and you've played against them for a few years, and then a few boys jump between teams. So there's always close friends and guys that you've got bonds with that, you know, you've made over the last, you know, 7 years of the competition. So especially with us in New York, you know, having Butch and Tux there and then, you know, a bunch of us on the Seattle team, it was good to catch up with them and go out for a few quiet ones with the boys after the game.
Everyone make the bus? Did everyone make the bus, or was it a few stragglers?
Everyone made the bus, so there'll be no wheel spins and questionable Instagram posts next week, I don't think. So.
You know what? Perfect. I want to get onto that because the image coming up now is what's going on here, man. As soon as I saw this, dice roll straight away. Explain to the viewers why are you just in your budgies?
Well, firstly, noodle bags, big supporters.
Oh, noodle bags, my bad.
We do love noodle bags. I have the nickname Rook because I am sometimes make rookie mistakes. And one of them is being complacent with reading timings in the schedule. So I thought we had a bit more time up our sleeve to grab a coffee between sessions. Rolled into the gym session about 10 minutes late with a couple of the other boys. And that is that's an instant spin of the wheel. So Mac Mason donning a new haircut, courtesy of myself. And then another lad, he'll have some pretty nails rocking this week, I think.
Wow.
It was his punishment. So it's good sort of internal fluff, good, clean internal fun that, you know, a lot of teams implement, and you'll see, you know, a few of them probably popping up around the league over the next, 3 or 4 months that we have left.
I love it, mate. Good, honest culture, that. I love having people, you know, accountable. It's fun and games. You've got to be accountable. And the other thing is about your accountable is that you've come on this show when I asked you to come on, which is so great. I hope you're looking forward to it, mate. I hope you've been watching.
I have. You guys are doing a great job. And I think it's, you know, it's these insights and this access that fans and players also want to get, I guess, to, you know, guys being put on the big screen and made to feel important and feel professional like we are, right? This is a professional league at the end of the day. So the things you guys are doing to, you know, amplify the league and put us on the stage that we need to be at is really good. So I'm honoured to be here, mate.
Stop it. And he's not even taken a bit of money, even though the invoice might come our way. And you're wearing your Loose Heads polo. What I must say is, look at us, Loose Heads, proud ambassadors.
Right, the back here.
Oh, look at that. Tackle the stigma. I mean, if this is not promo, then what is? Hey, look, Sam, we've got a great show coming up for the audience, whether you're listening or viewing, of course, on the Rugby Network. We've got the Rugby Rundown news coming back because there is some unbelievable news. I'm going to put in there a little bit of Premiership action as well. We've got the Week 5 review. We want to talk about that big win against Chicago from yourself. And we're going to have that Week 6 preview. Myself and Corbs doing these predictions, man. I'm telling you, the amount of heat we get from clubs,
I don't envy you at all. Especially having, you know, you've got mates and you play with them, and as soon as you get one wrong, you're just on blast straight away.
Oh, it's great engagement though. But anyway, yes, we've got that. We've got all of that to come. We've also got an ex-teammate of yours now at Nola Gold, and we're going to put a bit of spotlight on Nola because they've got our clash of the week coming up. Nola against Chicago. It's only Ed Fadeau, the Samoan international, coming on. Big mates of for you as well, mate. Looking forward to catching up with him.
He's most ten's worst nightmare in this league, so. Unfortunately, I could be in his path in a few weeks' time. So looking forward to catching up with him.
I look forward to hearing some stories of your times together at the Ironworkers. It's an action-packed show, buddy. Should we get into it?
Smorgasbord of rugby. How good? Let's crack on. Let's go.
How good? Let's get into it then. Here's coming up the Rugby Rundown news. Right, Sam, I have to start with the big news because I'm sure everyone, whether you're a rugby fan or even maybe an NFL fan, it really hit the headlines that Louis Rees-Zammit, the Wales international winger, or should I say former Wales international winger, who managed to skip round me in a phone box a few years back playing the Premiership. There will be a clip coming up where he makes me look, well, my head just hits the dirt and I'm nowhere near him. But he has signed with the Kansas City Chiefs. Apparently it's a 3-year deal, although I'm also not completely sure how that 3 years will work. I know me and you, mate, we know a little bit in this country of practice squads, waivers, being cut and whatever. Yep. So there's a lot of things that can happen, but this is awesome. And I don't know, my first question for you, Sam, is do you think this is a great thing for rugby, or is it almost a loss that we shouldn't be celebrating? I know what I think. I'll be interested to hear what you have to say.
Considering the Lions are travelling to Australia next year, it's probably a win for us in Rugby Worms. We don't have to deal with LZR tearing us apart down under, but no, I think it's a win for both products. I think obviously a big loss for Wales and Gloucester losing, you know, someone of that caliber, and the rugby world losing that. But you know, it's hopefully going to, you know, put more of a spotlight on rugby players and their ability to jump codes and not just your, you know, traditional codes of rugby league or Aussie rules. You know, there's been instances of guys in those specialist positions make the switch to your Jared Haynes and your Christian Wades over the last couple of years, but you know, this has been in the works, I think, for, you know, probably 5+ years for Lewis. You know, I saw he put up a screenshot of one of his chats with one of his coaches back in 2018 saying that he's really passionate about NFL and really wants to consider making the switch at some point in his career. So in terms of the programs to go into, you know, Kansas City are at the top. So they'll take good care of him. That international player pathway
does
so much for
these players. He's going to be mixing with like the likes of Mahomes, Kelsey. Yeah. Taylor Swift might be rocking around as well. I mean, he's a guy who likes his image, which is great. All part of that, all part for the promotional thing. And I've just got to say that I think this is exciting. I think it should be absolutely something we get behind as well here in the US because what we can do is maybe bring Rees-Zammit to a game, an MLR game, and just having that spotlight of celebrating the fact that this guy's come from rugby. Like, why would we not, you know, as you mentioned about the athletes, we got the athletes in our sport, and hopefully it will get those American fans thinking to themselves, wait, so he came from this sport called rugby. Let's go and watch it. Oh, wait, there's a professional league here in the US. Do you also think that MLR, we should be harnessing this and running with it?
Yeah, definitely. We need to leverage something, you know, something of it, because you're still getting, you know, we're at year 7 of the league, right? And we're still getting people that don't realize that there's professional rugby teams in their cities. So, you know, the more spotlight, the more, you know, clicks we get, you know, the better for us as a league, and teams are going to benefit from it by having more people come out and watch and, you know, ultimately be able to pay you more money. So it's good, mate.
100%. 100%. Right, let's just move it on a little bit because I want to go into the Premiership, because Premiership action was on the Rugby Network. There was also some action on Fox Sport 2. So really, all of it was happening, you could say, here very much in the US for the viewership. And there were some unbelievable games. Some of these highlights coming up, honestly, blew me away, some of the tries and some really important results. It started on Friday night with the Newcastle Falcons taking on Tigers. Sam, there was 20 minutes of stoppage time. Have you ever played a game with 20 minutes of stoppage time in your life?
I mean, that's, I feel for those boys. Those lungs would have been absolutely burning, the legs, the cramps, all that stuff. You know, you can't plan for a, you know, 100-minute game.
Honestly.
And then a couple at the end, so.
Crazy scenes. And the fact is that the Falcons needed, well, they did get held up at the line. That, well, they were going for their first win. I will ask you in the about the Premiership in a minute, Sam, just what you've been thinking. Mm-hmm. But the Falcons denied a first win this season. Tigers stay strong, 19 points to 13. Saints had a really important win, 41 points to 30 against Saracens. It was a disappointing Saints performance the week before, and they just came back hissing. And in particular, Ollie Slightholm on the wing. This setup, this try assist, I mean, he really should have gone all the way. Brilliant footwork. Brilliant try from the Saints and a great, really positive win. What I would say, Saris with a losing bonus point, that could be vital that they managed to grab at the end. Gloucester versus Bristol then. It was a Southwest derby. Gloucester 24, Bristol 33. But that was an emphatic first half. It was 24-19 at half time. So Bristol had those unanswered points in the second half. In particular, Van Rensburg, the South African centre. He was brilliant for the Bears. Quality win for them as they still try and push their way into the top four. Then we had Quins versus Bath, 40 points to 36. This one, Sam, was off the charts. At one point, Quins are winning this game, 40 points to 3. Marcus Smith with an unbelievable solo try he got in the first half. You thought this is all going to be Quins, but then Bath rallied back. And they rallied back enough, the likes of Finn Russell pulling the strings, and they managed to get a losing bonus point. Four tries as well, so that's two losing bonus points for Bath, but the win for Quins. And to finish things off, it was Sale. Sale picking up a very emphatic win against the Exeter Chiefs, 41-5, demolition job. Roebuck the winger with a hat-trick for the Sale Sharks. So, wow. If we take a look at the table here, Sam, I'm going to bring you in on this now, buddy. Like,
yeah.
First of all, Premiership Rugby, as we look at the table, Northampton and Saints sit on top, Newcastle without a win, very tight. But the whole of that table's tight. What do you make of the action? I know you're a rugby Norse, so come on, you watch this stuff.
Mate, it's 7 points separating second from eighth, so I don't think we've had a close premiership like this in a number of years, and no dominant team, you know, well out in front. But some of the games of the weekend, like, you look, like, I love watching a Bristol game, Pat Lamb, the way he plays and the team he has. They had something like 540 post-contact meters at their game at the weekend. So if you're a defensive coach and you're coming up against Bristol, you're thinking, how the hell are we going to stop these blokes? Because offloading games, you know, Ibatoye at the back is just breaking tackles and making, you know, stupid amount of meters post-contact. Mate, it's awesome. It's good to see. Normally you get a bit of that hangover after the Six Nations. People kind of lose a bit of interest because they're so, you know, whether emotionally drained after, close Six Nations at the weekend. But awesome to see that. You know, the quality of the Premiership is probably the highest it's been in a while, and you've got so many teams vying for spots, not just in playoffs, but for European Cup stuff next year as well.
Now, we want to get into the review, and we want to talk to Sam about an amazing win against Chicago. So now we're out the news, and we're heading in to the Week 5 review rundown of MLR action. Right, so we had week 5 of MLR action. It was action-packed. Corbs and I had to make our predictions. Sam even said off-air, we've got a really hard task. And trust me, mate, the amount of people who want to disagree with us or think that it's personal is quite hilarious. I do want to make a disclaimer out there that we are just having fun and we don't know anything. In fact, we don't even know the teams when they select them by the time we do these predictions. As you can see coming up, I actually did get 4 from 4. Corbs was only 3 and 4 because he went for Chicago. I went for you boys, Seattle. But he did manage to get that bonus point for the win. San Diego, I shake my head because he obviously always goes San Diego by one. You know, man, you might keep an eye on our predictions, Sam. You thinking that we're doing an all right job?
You're doing great. And I mean, this weekend, like, every game was one score in it. So, I mean, tough job to predict. I mean, it's not hard at the moment. Job. It's a toss of a coin or the bounce of a ball on a lot of these games. So keep working at it, mate. You guys, I know you have the script hidden away somewhere, but you don't need to get to that.
We're trying to do our best. Talking of doing your best is that win for Seattle. What a win it was at the weekend. 34 points to 26. That comeback from 26 points down. Noah Brown's 2 tries in the first half, 1 from an intercept. I honestly just thought that Chicago had clicked. Billy Meek's back at 12. Now, rather than me talk about it, you were on the field. You were opposite Billy Meeks. Yep. How on earth did that game go? What was said at halftime? I'm assuming that try just before the end of the half was so important. Yeah, how did you guys come back? Ridiculous.
Mate, it was one of those games where there were three tries up in a matter of, you know, it was 20, or was it 19-0 at 19 minutes or something like that. So they scored three tries. Two of them well earned, and then one of them off the intercept for Noah, which, you know, is opportunistic and, you know, well played to him. You know, obviously making that good read on Max pass and shooting out and getting that. And he's, you know, again, talking about jet shoes and fast fingers in the league. You know, he's absolutely rapid. So,
yeah.
We didn't panic. We got such a, you know, experienced team across the park that, you know, that's when those moments of leadership really come out. And then, you know, there was a bit of a, you know, a couple of yellow cards toward the end of the first half. So we had an opportunity. We knew what we had to do to score points or get down the field and play in the right areas. And it was just a matter of doing that, executing that, and then just taking, you know, advantage of those opportunities. So the messages at halftime were nothing, you know, were nothing crazy. There was no, you know, ranting. There was no, you know, it was very controlled. And
Clarkey was calm, was he? Was Clarkey calm?
Yeah, right. He was.
What?
I don't know what he said, but he's got these magic words now. You know, against Houston the week before, we were obviously down a fair few scores, and unfortunately didn't win it. But
yeah,
you know, for us, it's just not panicking and just sticking to our processes, and we did quite well. In that asset, and you know, we spoke before the game about what Chicago brings and how good they can be when they get it right. And you know, that game could, you know, I looked at the scoreboard one stage and I was like, this could be a blowout. Like, we could be going back home on the back of a 50.
We've all been there, haven't we? When you're that far down, 26 points nil, and you're thinking, I'm so far away from home now, just get me off this field. But yeah, like, yeah, credit to you boys.
If they created, I guess, a couple more of the scoring opportunities that other than we gave them, I think we probably would have been in a harder spot. But because we knew we made the mistakes that kind of opened the door for them, we knew that if we tightened it up, we'd be okay and we'd be able to stick to our patterns and do what we trained all week to do and ultimately come out, you know, at the end of the game victorious. So great belief in our squad, great depth in our squad. And just that, you know, probably the lesson we learned against Houston the week before is that you have to play, you know, right through to the end, and we managed to do that. So we just need to sort out the first 20, 25 minutes, and then we'll put together that 80-minute game.
No, it was a brilliant performance for you guys, and a try from yourself. What a win for Seattle on the road. Talking about another former team of yours and a win on the road, let's have a look at that Houston game. That Houston game against Dallas came right down to the wire. It was a David Kutzer penalty that actually sealed it for the SaberCats, 30 points to 27. They remain unbeaten, 5-0. Dallas, though, showed their quality. The game kind of went here and there between both sides, the scoreline flipping in both sides' favour. The power of the SaberCats came through. But I've got to say, this Dallas side are tough. You've got them coming up next week, and we'll maybe talk a little bit later about. But for Houston, I want to get a quick one from you, Sam. They're going well, and they've got a good squad, buddy.
Yeah, they are. They're a team that thrives and lives off momentum. And as soon as those forwards get a bit of head of steam up and they get around the corner, they're very hard to stop. Quite physical, very direct. And then you've got someone with the class of David Kotzer there putting the ball, you know, having the ball on a string and putting it between the posts when his team needs it. So, you know, Houston, I know as well as anyone, you know, how dark the times have been there. So to see them having success and stuff is great, you know. And then Dallas, on the flip side, put themselves in a position to win it as well. At the end, you know, penalty, kick to the corner 5 metres out, and then a bit of set piece, you know, inaccuracy, cost them an opportunity to potentially snatch that game from Houston. So they're not the team they were 3 years ago.
No.
You know, Dallas, by no means. They've got class across the board. Brought Nate Osborne in as an attack coach and backs coach, so that's firing. And, you know, again, the physical nature of their forwards is really what sets a platform for their backs to really light it up and, you know, find space out wide.
No, they really are. A team has been so improved from the last couple of years. But unfortunately for Dallas, they weren't able to grab it. The other two games that happened, I'm going to gloss over these two games. I don't really want to, but Anthem, so much improvement. They actually led at the half, 20 points to 17. A brilliant try from T. Waitokia, who managed to get Anthem, I say, in the lead. But DC really showed their power and class in the second half. They pulled away a 46 points to 32 win at Anthem. Anthem with a bonus point. Shame for them, but they are making strides. The other game of the weekend, that finished the weekend, I should say, on Sunday was Legion. And talk about tight affairs. Wow, Legion got away with this. I say get away from, but really, Miami, they needed to close that game out. Great first half. Felipe Echeverri, he's brilliant, that Uruguayan international. I know you've also played against Sam when you guys played them at your place, Miami. He scored all the points from his boot and then also the try in the first half. Second half, I thought they were going to gain that control. Sean McNulty against his old team got that little assist. I'm sure he'd be delighted.
He was in the open space, wasn't he? He was looking good down the field.
The big man in open space. And then Legion just came back. Got to hand it to McClutchy. He has been a clutch player, pardon the pun. And they walked away with a 22-21 victory. Corbs, as coach, a massive sigh of relief. He just literally said in text, thank God for that. And they got on a week off. Sam, quick one of those two games happening. Big win for DC and lucky for Anthem. And Legion just hold on. They go 4-1 now. They'll take that.
Yeah. No, the Anthem team, you know, they're going to be, you know, they're going to get a win, whether it's you know, towards the end of the year or not. The longer they spend together, the better they're going to get. Awesome for the league. A lot of guys in that team probably not getting much game time if they're at other clubs around the competition. So, love to see that. And then the Legion, you know, TT missed a few points off the tee, so San Diego probably, you know, absolutely, you know, laughing that they got away with that one because he's a radar normally and kicks it 80%+. So, you know. That keeps that West quite tight at the top.
It's tight. It's tight. In fact, talking of which, let's look at these standings. The West is tight. The East, obviously, Nola Gold and Free Jacks, they've been on a bye week. But, boy, it's going to be more... It's as competitive as I've ever seen it in MLR.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, people might look at the, you know, the playoff structure and think, okay, well, four out of the six of each conference make it through. But at the same time, teams, you know, we play a short season, we don't have a long runway, so you actually need a bit of time to gel with your team and put together those performances. So, you know, the competition's wide open right up to week 18 and then the playoffs. You know, if you've had a bad season, you scrape into fourth place, you still get another bite at it and have a crack. So we've got a long way to go and it's going to be exciting.
Well, we do have a long way to go. Those bye weeks are also approaching for the teams, one of which of those teams had a bye week, and that was Nola Gold. They're going well in the East. So I thought, what better way than going into our next segment? We're bringing an old teammate of yours, Sam, an old New York Ironworker, an absolute legend of MLR on the wing. As you said, as a number 10, you just don't want him in front of you. You want him with you. It's the Samoan international, Ed Fido, who joins us for a quick chat. All things Nola as they get back and they're about to take on Chicago in this Clash of the Week coming up. Okay, so we're here with a fly half's nightmare. I mean, me and Sam were literally talking about when we come up against this bloke, Ed Fido, it's like, just run somewhere else. Stop running down our channel. Big man, it's so good to have you on. You're off a bye week. Is the body feeling good? Are you all right?
I mean, I'm good. You know, I played my first game and I had a rough start of the season with the broken hand, but so I had a few times off, but yeah, body's good, ready to go again for another week. So I think the bye week was come around a good time for everyone else, but yeah.
Oh, mate, good for you, man. Good for you. I mean, you want to get a little bit of momentum going, I'm sure. But mate, you look quality in that first game. I actually commentated in that game against Dallas. And what I love, in typical fashion, the Ed Fido getting into people on the sideline, getting into people on the field, the bad man of MLR. So I actually am going to put this question to Sam. Like, you were with him at New York. Like, what is Ed? Is he a bit of an enforcer, or have I got that all wrong?
There's two Eds. The Eds that you guys see when he crosses that white line. And if you're unfortunately on the other side of the pitch to him, he's the enforcer. But then there's the soft side of Ed when he's off the field and, you know, he's compassionate, cares for everyone, and a consummate professional as well. So in New York, you know, Eddie was a big part of the culture and making sure that, you know, things were done the right way and boys, you know, lived up to our expectations. So what you see on the field is rugby Ed, and then what not a lot of people get to see is the Ed that we all love and know off the field. So miss him heaps, and it's good to see you doing well.
Miss you, my bro, man. It's good to see you on here, man.
Ed, how do you miss it? Do you miss New York? I'll go to Ed first. Like, do you miss how camaraderie and just in general, just I guess the Ironworkers?
Yeah, I mean, there's one thing of having a good team, but also having a good culture, and something that I just feel like Sam will notice deeply. That I feel like Sam put a lot in. You know what Sam's like. He'll put everything that he has into something that he really cares for. And I think for me as well, I kind of loved that as well. And it was good just to feel like not only just a team, but like, you know, as a family, that you actually, something that you really care about. But like I said, it just feel more like a family to me than it was as a team, because we built something special there, and we were hoping that to keep, you know, keep it up, keep it going. And things happened, and
just missing the viral TikToks that we used to film with the New York Subway.
Yes, they were epic. The one when your kit just like changed as you come off the subway.
Magic, mate.
Did that take a lot of takes?
That was a good week. That week.
That was one take. We did two takes because we actually got out. The train was going the wrong way, so we had to make it. Like, we had the social media team there. Stanton and Dan Gardner did such a good job of putting New York on the map, and you know, in the social media circle. So that was a fun one to be a part of. And I mean, that's the beauty of New York, right? You can just get out in the subway and no one blinks an eye. It's just everyday stuff. It's good.
Ed, you came off the back of a brilliant World Cup with Samoa. Yes, you talked about having your injury. You then moved to Louisiana. Like, how has, I guess, the last, what has it been? Ooh, like 8-10 months been for you? All that movement. But then how are you settling in NOLA Gold?
Yeah, good. Like, we... there's a lot of foreign boys here as well from back home, and I play with a lot of the boys, so I think the move was quite easy for me as well. And most of the boys brought their partner over this year, so it was pretty good, smooth move as well for my wife. And you know what they say, happy wife and happy life. Amen. You know, so yeah, it's been good. We got a good group of boys, good group of people as well, that front office and all that put us together. So yeah, it's been really good moves so far. So yeah.
And you got to link back up with lots of Rodney. Obviously played with Rods. I know Rods from back in Canberra as well. He used to terrorise me. He was in the opposition team for Mighty Queen and Whites. But Rods and OJ, and obviously Kane's involvement with Samoa over the years, probably helping you settle in nicely. And
those boys reach out before I move here. So that kind of made a move for me as well. It's a bit easier to come over here, get to know new people, but I also know a lot of the boys, so like of Jared Adam, Jordan Mahu, and all those boys. So yeah, I knew a few of the boys.
I'm liking what I'm seeing from the Gold. I think you're going about your business in the right way, sort of slightly under the radar, but people are realizing that you are a much improved team this year. Are you enjoying working with Corey Brown? And are you also feeling like, for your game, Ed, like, I know, like, you want to get the ball off the line outs, you want to get your hands on the ball, first receiver. Like, are you finding that actually with the players you've now got in this team, you guys can go quite far in this competition?
Yeah, I think that's what NOLA, I mean, when I got here, that's what they were talking about. They're missing the last few seasons. They kind of missed, like, a head coach as, you know, someone that's there to guide them through the what they actually need. I think what Corey's trying to prove to the boys, and the way he's trying to run things here, I'm liking the way he's doing it, and not too trying to rush stuff or trying to push the boys a bit too hard. He's just trying to, obviously it's his first time as well in MLR. Not saying that he's been around, so he's been coaching a lot, so he's still trying to find his ways and things to make sure that we all buy into what he's trying to prove us. And I think it's working really well at the moment, the way we are trying to improve stuff, the way he's leading us through our week. And what he wants from us is very clear and very simple. So, and he likes to, you know, play fast rugby and just simple rugby.
I had a chat with Fitzy, GM of the NOLA Gold, when everything unfortunately happened. And I can't even begin to explain his excitement at the possibility of having Ed on NOLA's team instead of against. Ed's absolutely terrorised them over the last couple of years. So I know they are super excited to have you down there, mate. So I'm glad it's working out. But I'll go on to the topic of food, because I know you're a big eater. Gumbo or po' boys? What's your go-to?
I think gumbo, I think.
Ooh, nice. Okay.
Are you fitting into this Louisiana-style cuisine, Ed? Is what... is Sam, is that what you're alluding to?
He must be, surely. And I know Sarah's a very, very good cook, so I'm sure.
I'm from Samoa, bro. Whatever. What are you doing? I
don't know. Oh, good.
Oh, awesome. But also, just in general, like, there's a climate change as well in there, man. Like, it's humid. It's going to start heating up. Nola.
Today was.
Yeah, I bet. And that must play an advantage for you boys. Do you talk about that?
Yeah, they're trying to make our training in the morning now, just trying to work out the weather. But it's like, man, we get like sometimes we get four weather in one day. Yeah. It's raining in the morning, hot in the afternoon, and cold and windy. Like today we had to run a Bronco in the heat, you know? First day back.
Oh, stinking. You had to do a mid season Bronco. How did you do?
That's the new Nola. That's the new Nola. Yeah. Around like 7 minutes. Or
too humble.
Still in the team.
Our S&C thought it would be funny to pull that April Fool's prank on us today and told all the boys there was a little test for us coming on the field.
We were hoping for April Fool. We were like, oh, when are they going to say April Fool? But nah, we did it.
That's good. It's character building stuff in the heat. Oh, we.
Hey, Ed, let's talk about this upcoming game against Chicago coming up. It's our Clash of the Week, the Rugby Rundown Clash of the Week. Chicago, I'm sure you kept an eye on them. That big loss against Sam and Seattle team. Crazy
game. Yeah, that's a good game, bro. Good comeback.
It was unreal. And he managed, and this big man was at 12 getting a try.
The gain line
he was getting was unbelievable. Look, I want to get from you, though, like, already early in the week, how are you talking up this game back at home? It's a big one for you because the East now, between you and the Free Jacks, it's all for the taking.
Yeah, I mean, like, Chicago's a really good team. We saw that. After seeing what they did on the weekend against Seattle, it was kind of like, you know, we see a way how we can. I'm not going to say our game plan on that. You know,
just say what you need to say, brother. It all stays between.
Yeah, I mean, you see it on every week. They're a really good team, and we got to respect that side of it. And I think we got a really good plan for it this week. And, you know, Corey made it clear this morning that we got to show them the respect that they deserve and just got to play our best. And he's really hard on us on our home games. So we're taking our home games very serious and that we're not taking any loss at home. So that's a goal. So, yeah. I don't want to say too much. I might say our game plan and get into trouble.
So basically, Ed Fido's coming off the back of the line out, straight to channel one, and away we go. Hey, look, Ed, that is all we've got time for, unfortunately. So good to have you on. Sam, quick last comment from you, mate. He's a top man. Absolute horror to play against.
Yeah, when Eddie's smiling, when there's a smile on that face, you know, good things for him are about to happen or bad things for the likes of us in that channel one or down that edge. So good to see you back fit and firing, mate. And looking forward to seeing you do some damage this weekend as well.
Thank you, bro.
So there we have it. We've had an action-packed show and the likes of an Ed Fido, and we've had yourself. Sam, so good to have you. I hope you've enjoyed yourself, mate. That's good fun, mate.
No, we enjoy having a good chin wag, you and I. So anytime calls his son and himself and needs another break, you got my number. So give me a shot.
I appreciate you, buddy. I wish you all the best for the upcoming game that you've got against Dallas. Cheers, and then, of course, for Ed in that big Clash of the Week coming up, Nola Goal versus Chicago. That is episode 18 of the Rugby Rundown. A little bit different. I'm off on a flight. I'm heading back to the UK for my brother's stag do, of all things. And you, hopefully, are just settling yourself for Friday night.
Yeah, recovery night tonight, mate. Cheers. We'll be good. Short week.
Take care, buddy. Take care, everyone. Make sure you follow us. Make sure you subscribe, like, and share. We'll see you next time on the Rugby Rundown. Thank you for listening to the Rugby Rundown, episode 18 on podcast platforms. And a massive thank you to Sam Windsor, who joined as our guest presenter. I hope you've enjoyed the show, but this is only just a shortened version because the full version is on the Rugby Network, where you can watch exclusively episode 18, where Sam and I look to predict those upcoming Week 6 MLR games and also preview the matches themselves. So make sure you go to the Rugby Network to catch all the action.